I want to start tonight by asking you some questions, some hard questions. Only the super wise will know the answers. What is this? What is it? It's an orange. Where does it come from? It came from my house, actually, so you're wrong. Before that, it came from an orange tree. Where do orange trees grow? Do they grow in Alaska? They grow in beautiful, sunny Southern California, right? Not Seattle, definitely not Seattle. Orange County, Southern California. What's it like inside? Is it mushy? Is it like a banana, or it has sections, right? Slices, all that stuff, right? Man, you guys are pretty smart. Congratulations. And here's the thing, fruit. If you didn't know it until now, they talk, right? They talk. They yap. They actually have big mouths. And the Bible has a lot to say about fruit too. In fact, it has this kind of stuff to say. Therefore, produce fruit consistent with repentance. It's a command that we get in Matthew chapter 3. It also says stuff like this. Therefore, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Yikes. It goes on. Seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he, Jesus, went up to it and found nothing on it except leaves. And he said to it, "May no fruit ever come from you again." At once, the fig tree withered. Matthew 21:19. And also, therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation producing its fruit. So the Bible has a lot to say about fruit, right? And I don't think that it's calling us to give up our jobs and become farmers. I don't think you guys have to go into work tomorrow, quit your, you know, car repair business, your tailoring shop, whatever you guys are doing, move out to the countryside and become farmers. That's not what the Bible is telling us. But it does say, or it does sound like, whatever this fruit business is pretty serious. God definitely seems to be taking it seriously. So maybe we should look into it. What do you guys think? All right? Thank you for participating, Debbie. So let's look at what the Bible has to say about fruit, all right? If this is such a serious business that God talks about cutting down trees that don't produce fruit and throwing them into the fire, taking the kingdom away from those who don't produce fruit and giving it to somebody else, well then, man, I want to know what it means to have fruit, to produce fruit. So let's look at a passage which is found in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read verses 16 through 20. And it says, "You will know them, or you will recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So you will recognize them by their fruit." So to begin with, let's look at what it means to produce fruit, or what kind of fruit is God talking about. So we have lots of options, right? Spiritually speaking, maybe we're talking about, going on mission trips. Maybe we're talking about leadership, biblical leadership. Maybe we're talking about memorizing scripture. Maybe that's another option. Or earthly speaking, maybe it's just being, God wants us to be fruitful, right? Maybe he wants us to be fruitful at work, to have a successful career, or maybe he wants us to have a nice house, or be respected by the community. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, I wish that all of you spoke in tongues, he says. And even more so that you guys prophesied. That's what the Apostle Paul says that he wishes for us, that we all spoke in tongues, that we all prophesied. So is this it? Is this what he's talking about? Is this the fruit that we're admonished or even commanded to produce for God? I have a couple questions for you guys. But I think the best definition or the clearest definition is a passage that we all know, and that's in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, where it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is this. And you probably know it already. It's what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. This is those other things, speaking in tongues, prophesying, a lot of those other things, they're spiritual gifts. But when the Bible admonishes us to have spiritual fruit, I believe that in large part, this is what the Bible is talking about. So I was thinking about this, going through this chapter, and I was asking myself, what if this is what God says that we need to produce, and if we don't produce it, then there's kind of a disconnect. There's kind of a bad situation going on. What if we're not prioritizing the things that God is prioritizing? If he's saying produce this kind of fruit, what if we aren't and we're producing something else? And I was looking over this passage in Galatians chapter 5, and I was going through the list. And maybe you've gone through the list, or maybe you're going through the list right now, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, so the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. What do I have and what am I lacking? And you know, to be completely honest with you guys, not to pat myself on the back, but I think I'm pretty loving. Okay? I'm just putting it out there. I can be pretty loving. I've learned patience. So Devin is saying that no, I am not loving at all, but Devin, I love you. So if that's not evidence, then I don't know what is. Patience, I've learned to be pretty patient. It's not my nature, but I've learned to be patient. Kindness, I can be pretty kind. Goodness, I think I have a pretty good heart. I try to see the good in other people as well. Gentleness, unfortunately, I was born resembling not so much my dad, but I have the fiery temperament of the Farago side of the family. So gentleness is something that I've had to learn, but I have learned through the years. And I can be pretty gentle. Self-control, off and on, okay? I'll be honest with that one. But I look at some of the other fruit that this passage is talking about. Joy. To be honest, it's something that I've struggled with for a while. I've allowed my joy to be robbed by many things, many circumstances. Peace, that's what I struggle with as well. I'm racked with doubt often. Faith, oh man, you'd think a youth pastor, surely he gets an A+ in faith, right? Man, I'm racked with angst and with fear oftentimes. For my personal future, for my family, for the church. And I see that I don't have this fruit. I don't, it's absent from my life. And I ask myself, why? Why? What am I doing? Or what am I prioritizing so that, or what am I doing that this fruit is absent from my life? And I have another question. What if we focus on other fruit in order to cover up our lack of the type of fruit that Christ is calling us to have, to produce? Like I said, you know, I look at myself and I say, I don't have joy, I don't have peace. I don't have faith like I need to. But maybe God won't notice if I keep, if I stay involved in the worship team, or if I preach, or if I do other things for God. Maybe God will overlook that. So tonight, the question for you, for us is, are we prioritizing the things that God is prioritizing? Is our life full of the things that he says that he desires our life to be full of? And if it isn't, are we doing things to cover up that lack? Are we being honest with ourselves, or are we sweeping things under the rug? That's one thing. But he goes on, and not only do we need to know the type of fruit that God wants us to produce in our lives, but the other truth for us tonight is that our fruit reveals who we are inside. Look at what it says in verse 18. It says, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. The fruit that you have shows who you are inside. And here's a truth that you might have heard or you might have not. We aren't sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners, right? It's a matter of the interior. I'm not a sinner because I've committed sin. I commit sin because there is something very wrong with my heart, with my interior, with my flesh, with my sinful nature. But let me ask you a question. Have you guys seen those houses with the big windows? There's like, do you guys, who likes those houses with the big windows, like the glass all around? Anybody? Okay, we have a couple people. That's like more the modern style, right? They're very airy, they're very open, right? Lots of sunlight, lots of natural light. A lot of people like that kind of stuff. I don't. I don't. I'm very private by nature. And man, I remember going to Balboa Island. Have you guys been over there? Where they have that little walkway in the houses, and it like the lower level is all like big massive windows. And as you walk past these houses, you see what everybody's doing inside. You see them watching TV, you see them cooking dinner, you see them talking with friends. And I would not be able to live like that. I would just always be looking over my shoulder. I don't know why. It's just I don't like it. But the thing is that fruit acts in a very similar way to these windows. They are, so my visible fruit is an accurate picture of my invisible interior. So I look at you guys and I can't see your heart. I can't see your interior. You can't see my heart. You can't see what's going on inside. But my fruit is like a window into what's going on inside me. Your fruit is an open window to who you are inside. Fruit reveals my character. Fruit reveals your character. And this truth is a lot harder to deal with, because it's a lot easier for me to say that you know what, I lusted. I messed up. I made a mistake. Instead of saying, no, I didn't make a mistake. But the reality is that I am an adulterer at heart. That's a lot harder to say. It's a lot easier to say that, you know, I lost my temper. I became angry. It was a split-second temporary thing. Instead of saying no, that's not the truth. The truth is that my heart is filled with anger. And when I'm not careful, that anger that's inside of me bubbles over. It's easier to say that I haven't been able to I haven't been able to come to church for the past month because, you know, I have to study, and after all, school is important. I have to provide for my family, right? We need to provide for our families. That's an honorable thing. Instead of saying that, you know, maybe what's really going on is that I've made money my God, that I'm greedy, that I'm self-centered. That's a lot harder to say. But instead of leaving on a note of condemnation, I want to invite you, church, to not look at this, the reality of the of this bad fruit that we all produce as condemnation, but I would urge you to see it as evidence of God's grace to us tonight. It's God showing me and God showing you that there's something deeper going on inside. It's not a surface thing, but it's a deep thing. It's in my heart, it's in my interior. And instead of covering up, by his grace, instead of letting it fester, instead of allowing it to grow and to spread like a cancer through the rest of my life, through my family, through the church, God is saying that, you know what? I'm allowing you to see it because I want to deal with it right now. I'm making you an invitation, Colleen. I'm making you an invitation, Emmanuel Church. Would you come to me? Would you allow me to heal you? Would you be sincere with me tonight and allow me to do what I have to do in your life to take out that bad fruit and to give you a new life so that you produce good fruit? And then to close, if we need to have this fruit, and if this fruit does truly give us a picture of who we are inside, well then, if God is calling us to produce good fruit, then how do we do it? How do we produce good fruit? And it says in verses 19 and 20, it says, every tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So you recognize them by their fruit. Well, man, I read a passage like that, I'm like, okay, I'm going to get to producing, all right? I'm going to become a conveyor belt of production. I'm going to be like a fruit factory. I'm just going to be producing all sorts of fruit, right? Because I don't want to be cut down. I don't want to be thrown in the fire. And if it's not operating out of fear, then I just want to be pleasing to God. So I'm going to get down to producing, right? That's what God is admonishing me to do, to produce. But here's the thing. In order to produce fruit, we have to remember a couple things. And the first is this, that we need to focus on Jesus and not on the fruit that we're lacking. My temptation is to be like, well, I don't have joy, so I'm going to try to be happy. I'm going to wake up with a smile on my face. I'm racked with doubt, so because I don't have peace, I'm just going to pretend like that's not going to happen, and I'm going to talk myself into peace or something, whatever you're dealing with, whatever your issue is. But this is what the word says in John chapter 15, verse 4. Jesus says, remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you produce fruit unless you remain in me. So first and mainly, don't seek out that, you know, seven steps to a happier life. That can be helpful. I'm not going to say that, you know, that's complete garbage. But don't rely on that seven-step program, on that 12-step program, on that how do you do it? How do I produce? How do I try harder to be more happy? How do I try harder to have more peace? How do I try harder to have more self-control? I would urge you that first and foremost, our responsibility and the answer for us is to remain in Christ, to focus on Jesus, and to understand that this is an internal process that needs to happen. It's not me trying to produce fruit on the exterior, but it's an internal thing of being rooted in Christ, of being attached to Christ, of being just completely overwhelmed by Jesus, and that, in that relationship, forming me and transforming and allowing me to produce good fruit. The second thing is, if you want to produce good fruit, is don't reject the pruning process. In John 15, verse 2, it says, every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. So I would urge you, if you desire to be filled of the fruit with the fruit of the Spirit, don't reject the cleansing, reforming, restoring process if it requires pain. If that process means that Jesus has to come in and cut away some things, that if it means that I have to lose some friends, or if it means I have to lose some opportunities, am I willing, are you willing to take that pain, to endure the pain for the sake of being pleasing to Christ? To be pruned, to be a healthy vine, to be a healthy branch that produces fruit for him. And the last thing is, we need to understand that the fruit that we are striving to produce is not mainly for us, but it's mainly for others. Jesus says in John 15, 16, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go out and produce fruit. It's that whole process of going out. It's that whole process of taking the gospel and the light of Christ that's in us to the world, beyond these walls, beyond the walls of our home, beyond the worship music that we listen to in our car, taking it to the world. And when a tree produces fruit, the fruit isn't for the benefit of the tree itself, but it's for the benefit of the animals and even of the people that eat it, right? So in the same way, I would close with this prayer. I would just say that this is a prayer that I'm praying for myself. And if you want, maybe this is a prayer that you want to pray for yourself as well. Lord, please produce and grow in me and in us, in the Emmanuel Church, the fruit of your Spirit. Lord, make me loving so that I can be a refuge for those who are rejected and cast out. Give me joy so that I can be a beacon of light to those who are engulfed in darkness, Lord. Give me peace so that I can be a shelter for those who are oppressed by the turmoil of this world. Give me patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control so that I can not only be pleasing to you, Lord, but pleasing to all the people that you've put in my life. Amen.